Chicken Scouts Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kelly Gingery, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes, that's right. Now we got somebody else here for our special, our big fat Oscar special. And I asked Kelly to come in because she's an award movie hound, wouldn't you say?
Oh, honey, yes.
You love award.
I love the Oscars. It's just the pageantry of the craziness, and come on.
So you're all for the, you know, dressing up and everybody. You're not Golden Globes? Because Golden Globes is different, where everyone gets drunk. You get to see them on screen, and you get Ricky Gervais dressing them down. There's a little bit too much self-love in the Oscars, don't you think?
I just think anything that where celebrities dress up, try to bring their significant other or their pretend significant other. And I mean, I used to write a blog called Red Carpet Rehab. So, you know, I love that red carpet stuff. I mean, it's just, and I love the, I was a kid, but you know, back in the day, I know you're a little younger than me, but there was no internet. There was no stuff like that. So that was the one time a year, the one night when you got to see these celebrities like in the wild, in their natural habitat.
And they go up and they try and like give an award and you realize you're like, wow, they're great with the script if they can memorize it.
Right. Or they're a complete idiot. You know, I mean, you saw them, you know, as opposed to seeing them. And I was a kid. I was 8 years old and bargaining with my parents to be able to stay up late enough to watch the Oscars. I would have to come home from school and take a nap so I could watch it. So I have loved this, you know, since back in the day.
Wow. Well, that's kind of cool. And that's why I wanted you to be on the show, because this one is the awards, like I said, the big fat Oscar special. This is the granddaddy of all award seasons, or all award shows. So real quick, tell us where we can get you, where are you from, what you do, and all that good stuff. So let the audience know.
I was born a poor black child and no,
that was a reference to The Jerk for anyone listening.
Yes, yes it was. I have, let's see, a website, flickchick.tv, where I do video movie reviews and just talk about all sorts of crazy stuff to do with Hollywood. I also do movie reviews on Mix 107.9 FM and
in Columbus, Ohio.
And you know, I then there's another movie blog, Movie Lovers Only. I kind of just am all over the place.
Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Well, here we are. Get a hold of us. You can reach us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can catch us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop right up, as do all our other podcasts. You can also get us an email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We do have one of those that we're going to play later in the show. But we're actually front-loading this section with the movie reviews because we haven't seen either. You haven't seen either of these, have you?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that's because they didn't screen them. Take that, Hollywood. We're going to talk about the other movies.
Always a bad idea when they don't screen them, because that tells you something, doesn't it?
Yeah, they did limited screenings for Hall Pass, but not wide screenings, and Drive Angry's technically getting a screening, but it's like literally 3 hours before you can go see it at midnight.
Right.
So let's start with Hall Pass. And this one, Owen Wilson and Jenna Fischer get a weekend pass from their relationship. Yeah, that's going to work.
What the hell is wrong with you two? You are completely obsessed with sex.
What are you doing?
Taking mental photographs.
Most married men believe that if not for you, they could actually be with these other women.
I'm giving you a hall pass.
A what?
A what?
A what?
A hall pass.
Just you and me, buddy, for the next 6 days. Let me log out. Okay, you log out. I'm gonna try to nail the receptionist.
Right. Have you seen the trailer?
I've seen trailers here and there.
Trailers, yeah. The whole.
I haven't paid attention to it though.
The premise of this is kind of ick.
If I'm not mistaken, see, this is weird because usually I'm the one who's seen movies and like Neil's the one who hasn't. Right. This one, I don't know anything about these movies, and you probably know more than I do, just because I'm slacking this week. But is it that they basically say you can do whatever you want to?
I think so. What I saw, and Christina Applegate, I think, is in it, one of the wives, and one of the guys from The Office, or one of the, you know, they all kind of interchangeable. But
yeah, I don't think he's not from he's like from Parks and Rec or something like that. I think.
Oh, Parks and Rec? Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Maybe that is true. Okay. Jenna Fischer's from The Office. That's
yes, she is.
They just, yeah, it's kind of like, ugh, if you guys are going to ogle over these girls all the time, all right, you have one weekend to just get it out of your system, blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And I'm just like, ick.
Ew. You wouldn't be, he wouldn't be just sitting there and cashing the savings and just go hoard up?
Who, me?
Well, no, I'm saying one of the characters.
Because I was saying, I'm going.
If it's a freebie, I mean, come on.
I'm going to Italy. Where's George Clooney? You know, I mean, I thought you were giving me some money.
Yes, because that's what I do. That's because I'm rolling in dough here. That's why. Yeah, exactly. That's
well, you do have this big show here. So
a big show. I have a big show the way Big Show has a big show.
I just think this is just one more. It's kind of like, Ooh, look at The Hangover. You know, it, all these are just seem to me kind of like Hangover wannabes, these movies that where guys are acting kind of obnoxious and very childish, and the women, they all make them into idiots. I just ick.
Yeah, when Knocked Up hit at the box office, everyone's trying to do ribald comedies, and I think some of them, like, I didn't like Going the Distance, I didn't like No Strings Attached, I didn't like The Ugly Truth. I think these are movies that they're trying too hard, and they're trying to basically make a romantic comedy that appeals to guys who want to have swearing in it.
Exactly. That is so true. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, well, we have to give this a preemptive suck, because it did not get screened.
Correct.
It's also directed by the Farrelly brothers, and they did The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah.
Which was awful.
I don't care for them much. Sorry.
I thought they kind of peaked with There's Something About Mary, which was... Yes. Do you realize Something About Mary's like 15 years old?
That's frightening. Yeah. I didn't even know Cameron Diaz was 15.
Oh, no. She's like 15 times three. Anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about another old actor, and this would be Nicolas Cage in Drive Angry 3D, in which Nicolas Cage comes back from the dead to fight evil in a fast car.
He broke out of hell to make things right.
He was a good father, and God makes up with the wrong crowd.
Now, he's got one last shot at redemption.
That cult
killed my daughter and took her baby. I am going to get her back.
Thought you were dead.
You hoped I was dead.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. Here's the deal with Nicolas Cage. His IRS agent picks his films. I'm sorry. But you know what? Actually, I got to say for this one, because he is one of mine that I was like, oi. And there's a funny video on, is it funnyordie.com? I think they did a funny parody of like Nicolas Cage agent or somebody talking to, like, telling him all these crazy movies that he wants him to do, and they just like, oh, it's a sequel to E.T. and it's, and he's like, I'll do it, you know, I mean, he does.
I'm sure some of those will actually end up being coming to reality.
Exactly. And but he, I mean, he's crazy, let's just face it. I mean, any guy who names his son Kal-El, right?
Sure.
And he has an Elvis,
and he didn't even get the Superman part too. That's
no, he has an Elvis obsession, and then he marries Elvis's daughter. Are you serious? You know, Lisa Marie.
Did he marry? I thought that was Michael Jackson. I get so
both.
Confused.
Honey, she was married to both of them.
So ooh, that's gross.
She's got a little of the crazy too. So anyways, but this trip, what I was starting to say is the one thing is this Drive Angry 3D, they have a cool thing on YouTube where they did the trailer and it kind of pops out at you with some, the marketing is great for this movie because it looks like trashy fun, actually.
I do kind of want to see it. And I'm going to try and see part of it. They have a conflicting screening. I may have to miss the first 15 minutes of it, but I'm definitely going to try and make it to the screen.
I think it looks kind of fun.
I might go see, you know, he blows hot and cold. I saw Season of the Witch, and it was terrible, but it was still kind of fun in a really awful sort of way.
Right. I think he's just, and I, you know, hey, I still kind of hold a little nice feeling because he was in Valley Girl.
Wow. That's a blast from the past. Starring Pee-wee Herman's girlfriend from the first movie.
Oh, yeah. What's her name? The cute little girl with the weird voice.
Well, the character was Dottie in Pee-wee Herman. Yeah. I don't remember. I know she showed her boobs in.
Here we go. All right, next.
Okay, well, that one has to kind of... Well, it sort of gets a sort of preemptive suck because they screened it so late and conflicted it with something else. But when we get back, we're going to take a break now. When we get back, we're going to do the Oscars. We're going to dive into the whole Oscar shenanigans, and we will be back. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are here for our Big Fat Oscar segment and our Big Fat Oscar special. Then we've got Kelly Gingery, Flick Chick TV, here to talk with us.
Does that make me your Big Fat Oscar expert?
You're not a Big Fat anything.
Okay, thank you, honey.
That's sweet. but let's we're going to go through, we're not going to go through every category because really, who really cares about sound editing?
Nobody.
Nobody does. Nobody, and it's like people are like, oh my gosh, Tron got robbed over Unstoppable.
Sound mixing. I like editing sound mixing sometimes. I do care about that.
What I think's funny is when like something wins for sound mixing but doesn't win for sound editing.
I know. What? I'm like, huh?
Who votes on these things? Aside from like...
The sound guys.
Yeah, and they're just fickle at that point. They're as bad as the stinking celebrities.
I know.
Let's start off with the more... This is probably the maybe the geekiest tech one we're going to do is going to be cinematography. We've got Black Swan, Inception, Kings. I don't. Nobody cares about the names. let's be honest.
Nobody does.
Black Swan, Inception, King's Speech, Social Network, True Grit. Who do you think's gonna win for best cinematography?
Inception.
You think that that's definitely gonna get that?
I do. I think. Oh, that is crazy cool. It was just there are buildings coming up over my head.
Well, that's visual. That's visual.
Oh, that's visual effect. Oh, see, wait, forget it. Tick tick.
Ta-da.
No. I just think Inception. I don't know.
I mean, Inception's a good show. I personally, I think True Grit is going to win for the look of it, and also cinematographers love sort of like those landscapes and Roger Deakins.
The beautiful vistas. Yes.
Yeah.
Roger Deakins. I know. Yeah.
He's like the one recognizable name outside of everybody else.
Let me see this. You've got the list with the names.
Right there. Matthew something or other. Wally Fisher. Fister.
Oh, yeah. Danny
Cohen.
I change. Roger. I didn't know Roger Deakins.
You don't have to change. You can go. You can stick with
him. But I know him. They love him. Yeah. Like Sally Field. You know, they love him. They really love him.
they love him. They really, really do. Just like Sally. Yes, you hear that, Roger Deakins? You're just like Sally Fields. Yeah. Let's move on to the next category that we're going to talk about. Best animated feature film of the year. You've got How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3. Which one do you think is going to win?
Well, I'm conflicted because everybody loves Toy Story 3 and Hollywood loves it. But The Illusionist is just visually very cool.
Did you get a chance to see it already?
No, I just saw pictures. I've seen the trailer. No, and I know, and I guess the same animator did The Triplets of Belleville a couple years
ago. Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. Well, a while ago.
I think that won the year that it was up. So, you know, I don't know. I know everybody always picks, you know, Pixar and all that stuff. So I don't know. I'm going to go with The Illusionist.
I'm personally just the safe bet would be Toy Story 3, which is what I'm predicting. Although I think you're right. I don't know. I think it's going to be a horse race because a lot of people loved How to Train Your Dragon.
I did not see it. I have not seen it, but everybody keeps telling me that they loved it.
It's nice. I didn't think it was the greatest. It was like a middle-of-the-road animated film for me, but everyone else seems to love it. It's actually beat Toy Story in a couple places. But The Illusionist, every year there's always that. They had Waltz with Bashir. They had The Secret of the Kells last year.
Yes. Can I ask, why is there a reason there are only three? Is it that they only pick? I mean, no, because what about, I like Despicable Me.
Yeah, so did I. I don't know. I don't know what goes into, there might be sort of like a vetting category that has to get so many nominations to get up.
Oh, that could be, okay.
I don't know. But I think the safe bet is Toy Story 3, but I wouldn't be surprised if either of the other two make it out.
Okay.
All right, let's talk screenplay. Let's do adapted screenplay first. You've got 127 Hours, Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone, which I think is sort of a BS thing to have like Toy Story 3 as an adapted screenplay because it's a sequel.
I think that's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I think, I'm going to go on a limb and say, I think this is a sure thing. Social Network.
Oh yeah, I personally hated the script for The Social Network, but again, everybody loved it.
Yeah. I loved it. I love Aaron Sorkin's writing, so I was in heaven.
You like that punchy, yes, sort of.
I do, that witty kind of repartee, the 40s kind of screwball stuff.
Complete unrealistic dialogue kind of thing.
When has realism ever entered into anything?
Yeah, we were just talking about Toy Story 3 and How to Train Your Dragon. Where's the realism in that?
Exactly, honey. Come on.
No, I think that's if there is a sure thing this season in Oscars, I think that's the one that's definitely going to win for best adapted screenplay. Let's move on to the next one, which is the best original screenplay. And that one you've got Another Year, which nobody saw. You also have The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, and The King's Speech. This one I think is going to be a little harder to choose. Which one do you think is going to win?
I think it's going to be more difficult as well, but I think it's kind of a two-horse race in my mind. I think it's between Christopher Nolan for Inception and David Seidler for The King's Speech. Because The King's Speech, you know, it got 12 nominations. The Academy loves this film. And they love, you know, that British kind of upper crust, all that stuff.
They love that snooty film.
Yes, they do. But Inception, maybe this is where Christopher Nolan will get an Oscar, you know, because they snubbed him for Best Director.
Oh my gosh, you're one of those people.
And so I think it's an interesting...
He was never going to win Best Director. Even if he got a nomination, he would never win.
Oh no, I know, but don't you know what they say? It's so nice to be nominated.
Yeah, they say that through gritted teeth.
Yes.
As they got like a little voodoo doll, they're sticking pins in.
So if I have to pick one, I'm going to pick... The King's Speech.
You know, I think the King's Speech is going to win. I really don't think he's got a chance for Inception. If there's anything that's going to be nipping at his heels, I think it'd be The Kids Are All Right.
Yes, I agree.
And the reason for that is I think that's the only thing that's going to have a chance of winning this year.
This category for The Kids Are All Right, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. I do. I mean, I think that they have a good shot at this, but we'll see.
Let's skip ahead to the supporting roles. Let's do the easy one first. Best actor. You got Christian Bale for The Fighter, John Hawkes for Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner for The Town, Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right, and Jeffrey Rush for The King's Speech. Who do you think is going to take?
Okay, here's my take on this. I said this on another place, but when Oscar upsets happen, they usually seem to happen in this category, the supporting acting categories, like Marissa Tomei, hello, you know, that people that nobody expects come out of the blue. Tatum O'Neal.
Well, you really are gunning for Marissa Tomei. You went after her in show prep, didn't you?
I did. I like her. I got to keep, but you know, everybody uses that as an example of, whoa, what the heck happened there? You know, so that's why. But, you know, and they give it to little kids like Tatum O'Neal and Anna Paquin, these supporting. So I think there might be an upset. Everybody's saying Christian Bale has a lock on this.
Yeah, that's the safe money.
But I think it's going to be Jeffrey Rush from The King's.
I would love to see Jeff Rush. He was actually my pick of everything, what I voted for, best supporting actor. I would love to see him win. I think you're right. That would be a great upset. Christian Bale seems to be the safe bet, but you know what? He could have.
He just seemed like he was chewing the scenery. It was like, oh, he's a drug addict. He's a crazy brother. It was just like over the top, too over the top for me. That
was everything with The Fighter for me. That's part of the reason I had an issue with The Fighter is it was, it threw every Oscar cliche at you, like, Conviction did.
Yes, I agree. Yep. So I think he's going to be upset, Jeffrey Rush. Oh,
I'd love to see that happen. I don't know if it would, but I'd love to see it happen. All right, let's talk best supporting actress. You got Amy Adams for The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Melissa Leo for The Fighter, Haley Steinfeld for True Grit, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. Who do you think is going to win?
I also think there's going to be an quote upset here.
You're just calling for upsets on everything.
I am. Woo, woo. You know, right now, or at least a couple days ago, as of a few days ago, Melissa Leo was the favorite, but she kind of did something. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, where she ran her own campaign?
She did. She bought her own ads, and that is a no-no in Hollywood land. Yeah,
totally shot herself in the foot. Oh. No way she's gonna. She did that way too early.
Yes, she did. And you know what? Everybody likes her. She's another one. They like me. She's a character actress who has paid her dues. And she was in that Frozen River a couple years ago and got nominated for Best Actress, kind of out of the blue. Nobody even knew who she was outside of Hollywood. So that they like her, and they gave her the SAG. She got the Golden Globe for this. So you could tell that they liked her, but then she went and ran this her own campaign, kind of like, consider me, and blah, blah, blah. This is going to Haley Steinfeld. She's taking it home because she is the lead of that movie. And they put her in this category because they knew she couldn't get Best Actress. And I think she's going to take it.
No, I think you're right. I'd love to see her win. The only thing I think could, if there's going to be an upset, you might see like Jackie Weaver squeak in there just because I think she's the dark horse.
And I thought she was fabulous. I love that movie, Animal Kingdom. And I thought she was subtle and fabulous. So if she won, I think it's great. But I don't think she will this year. But
I'd love to see Haley Steinfeld win. Yeah. That would be great.
Okay.
All right. Let's do best actor and actress. Real quick. Who do you think? Best actor. Who do you, I mean, do we even have to list them? Harvey Bardem, Jeff Bridges, Jesse Eisenberg, Colin Firth, James Franco? Who?
See, I consider this the sure lock, like an adapted screenplay with social network. This one, if Colin Firth does not walk home with that statue, I will eat my hat.
I will buy you a hat to watch you eat it.
Will you? Now, I'm not saying necessarily he needs it. He's the one that should win. I mean, I think he was great. But I'm saying he right now is the odds-on favorite. And, I mean, honey, I would watch him read the phone book. I love Colin Firth. I think he's great. So I'd be thrilled if he won. But I think everybody think it's like almost like they already have engraved it, I think. He is going home with it.
Yeah, the stars are aligned for this one just because it was a great performance. It's probably one of the most beloved movies by the Academy this year. Yes. Plus the fact he had A Single Man last year that was just a total Oscar grab, and he got nominated and didn't get it. So it's sort of like, well, it's his time. He's given us two good years. So I definitely think that's going to happen.
Yep, you got it.
You know what? I think we only got a couple seconds left in this segment. We're going to do actress, director, and best picture on the other side of the break. So stay with us. And hey, if you're listening on the radio, go to the internet and download it so you can hear what we think.
2 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are continuing our Big Fat Oscar segment of their Big Fat Oscar show. We've called out a couple possible upsets.
Mm-hmm. I think there are going to be a few. I think it'll make it exciting.
It'll be good. And that's usually where you're right. Most of the time, the big things happen in the actors categories. Those are the upsets.
Yep, I agree.
So speaking of actors, we already talked about Colin Firth winning for The King's Speech. We think that's going to happen. And then we also have Best Actress. This one, I think, is more up for grabs. You got Annette Bening for Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. Who do you think is going to get it?
I think this one is a two-horse race between Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right and Natalie Portman for Black Swan. I think that Natalie Portman has won most of the awards, the precursor awards, you know, before the Oscars. She won the SAG and the BAFTA and the all those other
ones. Well, and they both won the Golden Globes because they were in different categories.
Correct. And like we talked about the other, somebody else we mentioned that Hollywood really likes them. They like Annette Bening. You know, she's been nominated 3 times, never won. She puts up with Warren Beatty. No, I'm just kidding. And so,
well, that's her own damn fault.
I know. You know what? She is a classy dame. And in this film, she played a lesbian.
A classy lesbian dame.
Yes. Who you know, against type, if we're going to say. That's kind of against the type she plays.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen some movies where it's totally up to type for her.
Interesting. Okay. I just think this is one of those where they might say, oh.
You don't think she was a closet lesbian in American Beauty? I think she was totally a closet lesbian in American Beauty.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were saying, like, you think she is in real life when you said, when I said against her. I see what you mean.
I mean, that could be, I mean, anything is possible in Hollywood for crying out loud.
That's true. No, that's an interesting take on that, American Beauty. That's interesting. I like that. But no, I think what I'm going
to
say
is. I totally screwed up with your head now. You're like, I'm totally lost. What am I thinking? You're thinking back to every scene in American Beauty. What did that mean? She made street beans. What did that mean?
Her and Peter Gallagher. But now we're talking about lesbian. And you know, Black Swan has that infamous lesbian scene. So
it is a lesbian-heavy Oscar season, isn't it?
It is.
I support that.
Okay. Anyways, I'm rambling. I think that Natalie, I think Annette Bening has a strong chance to kind of come out and snag it, but I think it's Natalie Portman's to lose. So I think, I pretty much think she's going to get it. I think Natalie Portman's going to get it because everybody seems to love her performance. She's got chops. You know, I think she does mainstream stuff. She does arty stuff. She is great. And I think she's great in this film, Black Swan. So maybe if she wasn't in there, I'd say Annette Bening, but I'm going to say Natalie Portman.
I think you're right. I think Natalie Portman's going to win. I think there's a lot of love for Annette Bening, but I think The Kids Are All Right has sort of stalled as a movie.
It has. I feel the same way.
Because it came out a lot earlier, and it's already had its DVD and Blu-ray release, I mean, which was way back in like October. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since it's been out. It'd be like having Greta Gerwig get it for like Greenberg. No one remembers that before.
Right. Or her. No, I'm just kidding.
They were both in No Strings Attached.
I know.
I would love to see Jennifer Lawrence win for Winter's Bone, even though there's no lesbianism in it at all.
No lesbianism in the Ozarks.
I'm sure there is. It's just they bury you alive if they find out.
I'm not going to say anything about the title being Winter's Bone.
Oh, shame on you.
But here, I love that film, and that would be awesome, but I think it's not her year. You know, she's got time.
She's way too new. I mean, like, Haley Steinfeld will you win your first Oscar for the Best Supporting Actor.
Correct.
You don't win the Best Actor.
No, you do not. And I got to say also, I love Nicole Kidman in Rabbit Hole. I mean, so I like that. I was crying, honey. I had a box of clean. That is a tough movie about their son dying. So, but Natalie Portman.
Okay, there you go. I think you're right. I think she's again the odds-on favorite. The other one. Now let's go to the big ones. Best Directing, with no sign of your beloved Christopher Nolan anywhere.
He's not beloved. I just feel like, I think this was a cool movie and it didn't direct itself, honey. Come on.
Oh, come on. They're just movable props that you just put around. All right, we've got Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, the Coen brothers for True Grit, David Fincher for The Social Network, Tom Hooper, who's that? He's the one who directed The King's Speech? The King is All Right. The King's Speech. David O. Russell for The Fighter. Who do you think is going to win?
I really think it's going to be David Fincher for The Social Network.
You know what? I agree with you, and I think because Fincher's had a couple movies, and he's had his snubs for Zodiac. He's had his snub for Benjamin Button. It's the Oscars, for as much as everyone says best movie or not, it's so political, and it's so driven by that sort of thing. Yes, Aronofsky's had his snubs, but not as many as Fincher. So I do think it's going to be Fincher. True Grit, I love True Grit. I don't think that they're not going to give it to the Coen brothers. They just did.
Right, I agree. I think it's kind of like one of those, like, oh, it's David Fincher's year. Plus, they like The Social Network, but it's, well, I don't want to, our next category.
Oh my gosh, nobody will know.
But I think they're not going to give them Best Picture, so they're going to give him Best Director.
I think there's a chance that Tom Hooper could win, but it's one of those that I think people are just going to be like, they don't know who he is, right. And that has a lot to do.
He's just a relative unknown in this category, so I think it's David Fincher.
Okay, so the best motion picture of the year. Well, who do you think? What do you think is going to win? You got 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, Kids Are All Right, King's Speech, Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Remember Me. No, I'm kidding. Winter's Bone.
You're funny with my boy Robert Pattinson.
Edward Pattinson.
Edward Pattinson.
It's Robert Pattinson. You just keep messing it up.
I do. First, I do. Did you realize, I just read this the other day, that out of these 10, the five of them have made over $100 million. That is so rare for Oscar Best Picture nominees to be box office successes, too.
Well, and a lot of them, like, because it's Black Swan and The King's Speech. And, well, True Grit really ran away. That's a little more mainstream. But yeah. King's Speech and Black Swan are more considered art house movies, yes. But they did very, very well.
Yes, they did. So I think that's a combination of great marketing, word of mouth, all that stuff played in.
And good movies.
Yeah. Oh, and good movies.
Well, right. I think Black Swan and King's Speech, they are identifiable to, whereas like 127 Hours, although I loved it, that is, it's an art house film.
Yes, I agree. Oh, I still haven't recovered from that.
I sat next to you during that one. I watched you squirm.
I know. That was tough. And you know, they have...
I wanted to grab your arm at that scene and go, bah!
Do not grab my arm! Are you kidding me? No, they have t-shirts that their marketing was, I kept my eyes open for 127 hours. And I'm like, I did not.
You know what would have been a better... if they had t-shirts that had one of the arms sewed up.
Oh, that's funny. But, so, you know, I think we can all agree, or I don't want to assume, that opening this up to 10 nominees, this Best Picture category, made more accessible films be able to come into the mix. So
that's what they did last year too.
Right, that's what I mean. Last year when they did this, so there are more people that have seen these movies. I think they're a little more invested. It brings hopefully more viewers to the telecast, which is what they want. You know,
not that everyone's going to stick around for those full 4 hours.
That's true. I do though. I'm just saying. I pop enough popcorn for 4 hours.
You know, my I think if they really want people to watch the Oscars, what they should cut it down to like a 90-minute show, and they should let Ricky Gervais go in completely unscripted. And people would watch.
Oh, they totally would watch. I would be loving that.
It would be like that 110. If you did it for an hour and a half, 110. But biggest problem with the Oscars is it takes 4 hours.
You know, and I feel bad in a way that we're telling. I mean, this is basically a trade association giving their peers awards. It's like the plumber or whatever, the best plumber.
You can say it. It's a masturbatory exercise.
No, but what I'm saying also is that then the public, we're telling them, cut it down. You know, don't. But these guys, they want to get award, like the sound guy and all that. It's not. So unfortunately, it's not the sound guy's fault that it's on TV. But he should get his moment in the sun, too. If they weren't televised, nobody would say, oh, we're not going to give out awards to you guys. So I'm conflicted. I don't mind that they give all these awards. I don't mind it's 4 hours. I can watch it if I want to. I don't have to watch it if I don't want to. That's my opinion.
Getting defensive. So who do you think is going to win Best Picture?
I think it's going to be The King's Speech.
Yeah, that's the one I will definitely eat my hat if it's not The King's Speech. I know some people are saying The Social Network is too old of an organization.
I think so. And I think that they got all the critics awards The Social Network did. But now the steam train is running behind The King's Speech. And they got all the guild. They got the Directors Guild, the Producers Guild, the SAG. And those are the people that are in the Academy. You know, and so there's an overlap there. I just think, and they love those British highbrow, you know, Remains of the Day and, you know, Sense and Sensibility, all those. It's like, it's almost like Hollywood wants to be British. And so they love that stuff.
Well, that's why whenever somebody's trying to be an actor and they want to sound smart, they put on a fake British accent.
Exactly. Or Madonna.
Yeah, she's an idiot.
She does that too.
She puts on a fake British accent and steals an African baby and she thinks she's brilliant.
Oh, don't even go there.
No, I think you're right. I think The Social Network's on the waning end of its curve, and The King's Speech is right on the top of the bill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, there you go. There's our Oscar picks. Let's move on to the next element. Box office winners. Let's real quickly talk about last weekend. You had Unknown win the weekend by like something like $40,000 over for the 4-day mm-hmm. weekend. Unknown won over Romeo and Juliet by like $40,000.
Mm-hmm. You mean, are you Unknown or is that Taken 2?
Taken 2. It's not that much like Taken.
I know. It's just him. No, but seriously.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Liam Neeson as an action star.
And a guy, avenging whatever. I mean, that is such a formula that they realized worked last year as a fluke with Taken that they said, I guarantee that somebody wrote all that down and said, and we got him. I'm just saying.
They're going to call Taken again.
Taken again. Boom, 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 boom.
But yeah, Unknown one. But I thought it was interesting that it only won by like $40,000.
That's interesting. It is.
Over Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet, of course, in 3D screen, so it got a bigger ticket price. And then you had I'm Number 4 doing a little bit softer numbers than they expected. Did you see that?
I did not see that. So I can't comment on it.
I enjoyed it.
I Am Number 5, by the way.
Who do you think is going to win this week?
Tell me. Oh, it's Nicolas Cage, right? Yeah. Drive Angry 3D. And what's the other? What's his company?
Hall Pass.
I think Hall Pass.
Yeah, Hall Pass. Well, they're both R-rated movies, but I think Hall Pass has a wider audience.
I think so, too. More recognizable faces and not Nicolas Cage.
It's all going to be $20 million, though. I don't think it's going to be.
Oh, it's going to be soft. I don't think it's going to be a big weekend.
All right, we got to respond real quick to a voicemail.
Hello, Fat Guys the Movies. This is Chris from Lansing, Michigan. Long-time listener, first-time caller. And last week on your show, Kevin, you brought up that you would always defend the Star Wars prequels. And there are three hilarious reviews by RedLetterMedia.com about the Star Wars prequels, which shows that these films, which are aging by the day, Phantom Menace is almost 12 years old now, are still very relevant. Do you feel that there's a chance that they will ever be rebooted or remade, the prequels that is, based on the fact that there just seems to be such a debate about them? And if so, do you think it'd be a better chance that Lucas would direct it or another director? Because it seems like a lot of people have their ideas about the type of films that should be made. I think, do you think maybe it'd be best if they were to put it to rest by just having them remade? Hopefully you guys can answer that. Keep up the great work and congratulations. I know it's a little late, but congratulations to 200 shows. I'll be calling you back eventually. Bye.
All right, so here's a question. First of all, have you ever seen the Red Letter Media reviews of the Star Wars films or of Avatar?
No, I have not.
There are these 90-minute reviews. A guy dissects the movie over 90. I personally, to answer your question, I don't watch those things. I'm not going to watch a 90-minute analysis of a 120-minute. Excuse me, 120-minute.
He does a video. It's a 90-minute video where he dissects the film.
Yeah, he does it for all three Star Wars movies. He does it for Avatar. I think the guy's a pretentious ass who does it. And I'm sure he points out some good stuff, but I can't sit through 90 minutes of that.
Unless it's like MST3000 or whatever that's called. That's funny when they make funny comments.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good. But no, just sort of dissecting it. No way.
Thank you.
So I haven't watched those. I understand that they're it's insightful, sure. Not my cup of tea. But here's the bigger question is, as he said, do you think that they're ever going to reboot or remake the Star Wars films, either the prequels or the regular ones, after, by somebody not Lucas? Do you think that's ever going to happen?
No.
Really?
No, I don't. I think that, I mean,
even like 50 years from now?
I won't be here. Oh, hopefully I'm here. What am I saying?
You're not that old.
I just...
Shit, I hope to be here in 50 years.
I'm just having one of those days, I guess. No, I don't know. I just think... But nobody is beyond, remaking, I guess. So I guess he's not.
The only way that I think it's going to never happen is if Lucas somehow puts in his will or something like locks it in that they cannot be remade. That's the only way. In 50 years, once Lucas kicks a bucket, who knows? I mean, when Spielberg kicks a bucket, give us 10 years, we're going to get an E.T. remake.
That's true. With a really different kind of bike.
Maybe. Sure. So, yeah, I don't think it's impossible, but it's not going to happen anytime. Yeah. I mean, Lucas is going to have to be dead and buried for like 20 years.
I think you're right.
So, they'll be in 3D.
Yep.
Anyways, let's talk real quick. We got the Fat Guy 5. A little bit over on time here, but we'll just burn through these. The 5 most unlikely Oscar nominees. I'm going to take the first one because it was mine.
Okay.
Actually, you can do this one. Why don't you can do it. Would you want to do that one?
I don't really agree with that.
You don't think that she was Kim Basinger for L.A. Confidential?
I think I'm surprised she won Kim Basinger for L.A. Confidential, but I thought she was great in that film.
She was bored.
Well, see. I just thought she was heartbreaking and touching, and I love that movie.
She looked nothing like Veronica Lake.
No, that's true. I'll give you that. But I love that. I mean, when I watched that recently, I rewatched it. That cast is awesome. I think Russell Crowe's fab in that. And what's the guy? Guy Pearce. Kevin Spacey, the guy who's now on that show on CBS, you know, the blonde that plays the like actor that, oh, never mind. I can't remember his name.
The guy on that show that's on TV.
The Mentalist. He's on the show.
Oh, Simon Baker was in that?
Yes, he played the young actor who was.
Oh, yeah. That was him.
Yes. So, and Ron Rifkin. I mean, that's a great, but anyways, okay.
And then like Kim Basinger was down at the bottom in my opinion.
Right, but I wish I knew who was in the category against her that year.
Yeah.
Because maybe that would make me go, well, she wasn't as deserving. But like I said, I liked her in that. But
I'll give you that. The next one I'll do is 3-6 Mafia.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
Wow. She busted out the ghetto on that one.
I love it. That was hilarious.
I love the fact that 3-6 Mafia won an Oscar just simply because, nominated for an Oscar, but won because, good God, it's 3-6 Mafia.
Exactly. And the Academy is like 85, their collective, you know, average age or something. And that was the bet, that their moment in the sun on that telecast was the best thing of that show when they came up and took that. It was hilarious.
I can't remember who gave out the award, but I would have loved it. It'd be like you know, some old guy like, yes, Robert Altman be like, and the winner is 3-6 Mafia, holla bitches.
yo,
that would have been awesome.
Academy. I like
The next one. Do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Trey Parker and Matt Stone for Blame Canada.
Yeah, the fact that they got nominated for an Oscar.
Another thing similar to 3-6 Mafia. I mean, that they were nominated cracks me up. And they, that year, I think they, isn't that the year that they went dressed up as, one of them dressed like J-Lo, yeah, what she wore to the Grammys, that dress cut down to there. And the other one was dressed, I think, as Gwyneth Paltrow when she won for Shakespeare in Love, this pink, beautiful dress. They crack me up.
Well, they dressed in drag, and the reason they said it is because they said, this is the only time we're ever going to be like nominees.
Right, of course.
And well, they're probably true. But, I do wish they would have been nominated for Uncle Fucker, because that would have been a better song. That would have been hilarious to have them say.
Can you say that?
I can say that we're in the internet only segment.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Whew.
But yeah, that would have been hilarious. It would have been great, because that's a superior song to bring Blame Canada. They just couldn't bring themselves to actually do it.
I'm not as familiar with that, so I cannot debate the fine points of the lyrics in Uncle.
You're so, so stuffy. Let's move on to the next one. Do you want to do the next one? Or?
Let's see. Oh, you do that.
Eddie Murphy for Dreamgirls. I mean, he did a good job in the movie, but the fact he was nominated just was a hilarious thing. And also the fact that between getting the nomination and going to the ceremony, Norbit was released.
Norbit. I mean, just that is, and you know, he was pissed off when he didn't win because
he left.
Because somebody got sick. No, that was Will Smith one time that left because his son was sick or something. But
he probably had to go make a movie with one of his kids,
right? Or an album or a tour or a concert tour. But no, Eddie Murphy, because there was buzz that he was gonna, and it was a big deal, crazy deal that he got nominated for that. I thought he was another one chewing scenery. I didn't think he was that great in that.
I think it was Alan Arkin won instead of him.
Yes, probably for, Little Miss Sunshine? Yeah. But yeah, Eddie was not happy.
Okay, you do the next one. Last one.
So this is, remember, we're talking most unlikely Oscar nominees, and some of these did win that we're talking about, but Judi Dench for Shakespeare in Love.
And she won, right.
She was on screen, wait for it, 8 minutes. 8 minutes of screen time as Queen Elizabeth. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Who was she nominated against? And I gotta believe that those ladies are pissed.
Well, and she didn't do anything. I mean, she just sort of came in there and was like, thank you. It's not like when Helen Mirren played the Queen.
Right. Well, two different queens.
Different Queen Elizabeth.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, what were they thinking? Were there not any other performances that year by supporting actresses that were on screen maybe 10 minutes?
There were more inches in the height of the statuette than her minutes of her show.
Wow. Interesting.
Just to put that in perspective. Okay. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to quickly run out with the DVD roundup. Blah.
And we're back
with Fat Guys in the Movies.
Oh, yeah, okay, Fat Guys in the Movies. Yes.
You're flustered. You're verklempt.
Verklempt. I like it.
What time is it now for? We've talked Oscars. We've talked movies. What's the time for, Kelly? Ma?
Well, Kevin, it's time now for the world famous DVD roundup. I love that.
Yeah. See, Lucasfilm sound effects. Skywalker sound does that for us.
Best sound mixing.
It's true. But it would be some ceremony hosted by Dustin Hoffman 3 weeks beforehand.
Oh, honey, yeah.
And they just throw the roll tape or something like that.
Pass.
What's your DVD pick for this
one? I loved Get Low with Robert Duvall. And
in which he plays the old guy from The Road. Did you see The Road?
I did not. That's not my kind of movie.
It's a little bit depressing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, razor blade. And so, no. Get Low.
But are you kidding me? They don't have razor blades left. It's post-apocalyptic. You have to cut yourself open, like cutting your arm off.
If I want to see Viggo Mortensen. Isn't that who was in it?
In The Road.
Right, right. I want to see him in a naked knife fight in that, what's it called? Something.
Eastern Promises.
Eastern Promises, right. Anyways, we're totally going off topic.
He could have punched somebody out without using his hands in that scene.
Exactly. That's what when you said no razor blades, I'm thinking the knife in the naked knife fight. Okay. Anyways, Get Low. The best part about Get Low, which is Robert Duvall is this kind of old codger back in like the 30s, I think, that wants to stage his own funeral to see who comes and what they say about him. Basically, that's it in a nutshell.
And he tricks people to come in because he has a raffle.
Yes, he has some kind of raffle, crazy thing. And, you know, and there's a mystery kind of, it's not real mysterious. You kind of know before it's over, but, you know, of something that happened and there's a twist and all this kind of stuff. But the best part of this movie is Bill Murray and Robert Duvall together and the young kid, Lucas Black. I mean, he's not a kid anymore, but he was. Never mind. But their interactions together, I think Bill Murray's great in this. He should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor this year because I thought he was the best part of this movie.
You're right. Bill Murray really breathed life into it. It was a little bit dry without him. And then when he shows up, it definitely works.
Yes, I agree. So I like this. I think it's interesting. And Robert Duvall, I mean, you know, everybody knows who he is. He's been around. He's done some great stuff. He's done some mediocre stuff. But I think, you know, it's I liked it.
Oh, good. I like Get Low, too. The other ones we've got is Nurse Jackie, season 2. Oh, uh-oh. I don't know if you're going to hear that, but...
Is that the cops? They're coming
to us. Yeah, they're coming after us. That's a siren. That's a tornado siren. They're testing it. It's snowing.
Why every time... You know, we've done this before. We had trains coming after us. We have a lot of things when we do this radio show together.
Well, that's because I'm rolling in dough, as you pointed out in the first segment. Anyways, we've got Nurse Jackie season 2 and Weed season 6. These are two Showtime shows. Do you ever watch either?
You know what? I have never seen any episodes of Nurse Jackie, but I know that it's very critically acclaimed and I think Edie Falco is awesome. But I have seen Weeds and I like that too. I think that's very cool.
They're both funny. Nurse Jackie's a little bit more, a little bit harder edge. I mean, Weeds is a little funnier.
Yes, I that's what I've read.
But Nurse Jackie is yet another one of those shows, kind of like, you know, Grey's Anatomy or House, which makes you terrified to go to the doctor because you're like, oh my God, if people are like this,
Or when you like have a sudden pain in your elbow and you're like, oh my God, it's cancer. So, yeah, you think every little thing is something terrible.
Absolutely. We also have Due Date, which is Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis. Thank you, Todd Phillips. I now can spell Zach Galifianakis without even looking it up.
Oh, yeah. And say it correctly, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how long in his career it took for people to be able to pronounce that correctly.
Oh, years. Because I remember seeing him on like Conan O'Brien like 15 years
ago. And it was like, Galifianakis.
Yeah, it'd be Zach Galifianakis. And I'd be like, what? Yeah. Did you like Due Date? I thought it was okay. I liked it better the second time around when I watched it on video.
I've only seen it the one time, and I was like, meh.
Yeah, it's not, it's, you know what it was? I said it's the Zach Galifianakis character and the Bradley Cooper character from The Hangover, yep. Without Ed Helms to sort of even them out.
I agree, very much so. And Robert Downey, I'm a love-hate with him. Yeah. Sometimes I just think he's, you know, like, too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's also Megamind, which actually comes out on Friday, which is when this thing goes live, so you can check that. Uh-oh, we got a visitor in the studio. He's tearing things apart.
Megamind.
That's right, Megamind. He's getting started. But anyways, Yeah, Megamind, Will Ferrell. It's a neat animated film, another DreamWorks movie. I liked it better than some. DreamWorks blows hot and cold for me. I always love Pixar.
Right, and I did not see this, so the clips I saw were funny, and I love Tina Fey, too, so.
Yeah, Tina Fey's character looked creepy, though.
Yeah, it did look kind of, I thought so, too. Like, were they trying to make it look like her a little bit? Because if they were, I'd be like, whoa, that's scary.
It was like they like, hit render, and, like, the data corrupted in the middle of it, and they're like, eh, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
The stinker of the week, my apologies to Scott Weinberg for hating on Survivor. Survivor 20, Heroes and Villains. The only reason I put it on here is because I hate reality TV and the fact that this has been on for 10 years. It's a dark spot on my soul.
Wait, now that doesn't make sense because you told me you love The Bachelor.
Yeah, right. I got a question for you on The Bachelor because I know you're a huge fan. Yes. Do they actually still try and make it him trying to find love, or do they purposely just make it an absolute bimbo explosion?
Plead the fifth.
A little of both?
No, I think a little of both.
Are they taking it serious and then people like you just make fun of it?
I don't know that they take it completely serious. You know who's one of the producers of that? Is that Heidi Fleiss's brother.
Oh, wonderful. That's quality television right
there. That's what I mean. It's crazy. So I don't know that they completely take it seriously, and they're making tons of money, so I don't think they care.
Anyways, review wrap-up, Drive Angry and Hall Pass Get Preemptive sucks because we didn't get to see them. Next week, we're going to be talking The Adjustment Bureau, Beastly, Rango, Take Me Home Tonight, maybe. But thank you, Kelly Gingery, for joining us on Fat Guys of the Movies. And tell us again how to get a hold of you.
Well, let's see.
You got 20 seconds.
Smoke signals work, but flickchick.tv is my website. I also have a blog, Movie Lovers Only, and I'm on the radio at Mix, let's see, so the website would be mymix1079.com.
Word to your mother.